flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down 3 times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its 4th year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am your host, Brett Boone. Today on the program, I'm joined by the 2024 AL Cy Young Award winner. Recently, we got to play a little golf together. It was great to he's my new golfing buddy. We got to catch up a little bit. He brought, we'll talk about it during the podcast. He got a bunch of his buddies out there, had a good time. Looking forward to catching up today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Reek Scoobel. Tarek,
thanks for having me, man. No, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First and foremost, how'd the rest of the golf trip end? All right, let me set it up for the people listening here. He brought his buddies, and there were 11 guys, I think, with him. They went to out to Southern Cal, San Diego. That's where we got a chance to play one day. But you had the $100 bet. You had a lot of bets going out there. Tell me how the trip ended up.
Yeah, I lost. I lost pretty much everything. No closest to the pins. Lost our little Ryder Cup format we had. And I made $20 on Friday. So that was nice. That was a good, recoup of money.
Who won all the big money? Did anybody in our group?
The other two guys that we played with won. They were on the other Ryder Cup team. Oh, so okay. They won the Ryder Cup match, 66 match. But I think the big winner was probably Britt. I guess he played really well that Friday and made out pretty well. So good weekend for him.
Everybody made it home safe. We're all doing good. I'm off here at Red Fantasy Camp. You're back to getting back to your off-season routine. What a year, man. I already told you congratulations, but not you won the Cy Young, you won the Triple Crown. Pretty rare to get all three of those. And I just want for a young player like yourself having such a great year, winning that prestigious award, things are kind of different now. Probably a lot of people want a lot more of your time than they did a year, 2 years ago. Has it sunk in yet for you?
I doubt it. I doubt it. You know, I don't know if it ever will until my career is over, you know, because it's one of those things that I don't, you know, I try not to get caught up in. As much as the award is an awesome honor and great for me in my career, but I try not to get too much, you know, too caught up into it, and kind of just focus on, you know, what the team's goals are for next year, and that's to win. You know, there's only one happy team at the end of each season, and that's the team that I want to be on.
Yeah, and getting to know you a little bit, you know, I understand you're a very humble, grounded young man for everything coming at you so quick. The cool thing about it is you win an MVP or you win a Cy Young, the rest of your life, no matter what happens from here on out, unbelievable, you know, play another 10 or 12 years, you're always going to be introduced as Cy Young Award winner. So that's pretty cool to have on your mantle. Let's talk about the Tigers' year. I kept an eye on it. All of a sudden it gets to August. And I think you guys rattle off something like 17 and 11 month in August. You finish it up with even better. I think 17 and 8 to finish the season. You're in the middle of an unbelievable season. Teammate of yours gets traded, Jack Flaherty. That kind of sends up the sign, and Flaherty's having a great year in his own right. Sends a sign up to the baseball world that, hey, we're sellers, not buyers. All of a sudden, you make this run, August, September. Everybody wants Scooble. And, you know, I've got to cover you. So I'm sitting there going, yeah, everybody wants Scooble, but I don't think anybody's going to get him. You had to hear the buzz. I mean, I think there were 15, 16 teams looking to make a trade for you. I think Detroit did the right thing by keeping the ace in-house. But in the middle of a race like that, 2 months to go, you're having the year you have. You've got all these distractions. People are are you going to get traded? Are you not going to get traded? How do you keep that together and just keep to the task at hand?
Yeah, the noise gets a little loud at times, and I think as a player, you try to just get back to, you know, focusing on baseball and going out and playing every fifth day, but it does get a little loud, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, whatever TV you turn on, I felt like my name was on them, you know, for trade rumors and stuff like that. So quick fix was shutting those off, you know, and not looking at them. But, you know, when Jack was traded, obviously it sucks being a part of a team that is selling, because that's all you want to do is win. And my experience in the big leagues, I've been a part of four sellers, so it's not a great, you know, feeling.
Right.
The week after we trade Jack, I think we lost, you know, 6 of 7, and you could kind of just see the vibes weren't great, and it kind of was going to strap up to be just another one of those summers. And then at that point, I start thinking about how my season is going to go from an individual standpoint, you know, like, hey, there's, you know, I'm pitching well enough to where there's a big award, and the pressure started to build, you know, mount up a little bit for me. And luckily our team just, you know, we got hot, and all that I focused on was winning baseball games and doing what I could to win. And that took a lot off my plate, you know, to where I just focused on playing baseball again and not really worrying about what I was trying to accomplish out there, you know, individually. Got back to the team aspect of the game, which is beautiful. And it was fun to, you know, make that run the last 2 months of the season.
You know, I think there's so many variables throughout a big league season. I've been, you know, a lot of years we were sellers, and you're right. The demeanor in the clubhouse, especially we're on the cusp where you're not quite out of it. You're there and you see management go one way. You got to find a way, those 26 guys in the clubhouse, to pull it together. Because at the end of the day, on the teams I've been on, great teams, mediocre teams, bad teams, it comes down to those guys in the room with you. And sometimes it feels like nobody else has got your back except for your teammates. And you got to find a way to get through that. You know, I've had years where we've been out of it, and you're right. You got to go to an individual. You got to find a reason to get up in the morning, go to the ballpark, and get that adrenaline to that point you need to compete at the big league level. And it's not a selfish thing. It's a, no, the better I am, the better my team is. You got to find a reason to get up. Because sometimes on those years, and you've been there, I've been there, where there's no chance you're making the playoffs, It's easy to start creeping in the mind. What does it matter what I do? Well, what does it matter what I do? Because I got to find a reason. I have an obligation to my teammates, the fans of Detroit, to give them what I got. So it's definitely a predicament. And when they trade a guy like Flaherty, that has a an effect in the clubhouse. I've been on teams where we were right at the deadline and we needed that one more piece, you know, to go for it. And we didn't get that piece. And everybody's kind of on the edge of their seat waiting. The deadline comes and goes, and you get nothing. So talk about it from that standpoint. And when Jack left, he's a big part of that rotation. It's almost like, you know, not to put you in a position of, oh, talk bad about the ownership. No, but it's almost like ownership doesn't think we have what it takes to get to the finish line this year.
Yeah. I think when, you know, we lost Carson and Chafin as well, Carson Kelly, and he goes to the Rangers and he was having a phenomenal season for us. You know, he was, you know, he had a 750 OPS or something like that as in the catcher's position, which is great. You know, that's a ton of production from that slot too. And Chafin was kind of the lefty, you know, reliever, but he had neutral splits, could come in and be a really bad matchup for a lefty in the box and then just be just as bad of a matchup for a righty in the box. So he was also a great piece of that. But when you lose a starter that's doing the things that Jack was doing last year, you know, one for me, it was awesome to watch every fifth day him put on a show. It was like, oh, this is Jack's day. He's a different cat, you know, on the days he pitches. He's one of those guys you hear about him, you know, you stay away from him. He's one of those guys to where when you know it's his day before anyone else knows it's his day, you know. And but he was fun to be around. So when he was a guy like that, he was a great teammate too. You know, he always took care of the guys, took us out to dinners. We're a young team, so financially someone's got to pick up the tabs and stuff. And he was the guy that did that stuff. Right. So when we lost him, I was looking around the room like, damn, I think I got to pick these ones up. But yeah, it was, he was fun. And when you lose a guy like that, it sucks. But it kind of did give us a little bit of a spark. You know, I think when it felt like we were playing with house money, you know, it was like, there was no expectations to our group. We just were out to and go play freely. And we were young and, everyone kind of knows each other in the minor leagues. So I think that brought some comfort in that clubhouse of guys knowing each other and not kind of trying to find their feet. They knew each other and just were able to go out there and play baseball and guys were doing the little things and not playing selfishly, you know, moving guys over, you know, hitting the sack fly when you could easily try and hit a homer and maybe strike out. Guys were just taking the hits the other way. It was fun. And then what we were doing on the mound was also really impressive. You know, guys that came up and weren't as dominant in AAA as they'd probably like to be to deserve a call up. And they came up and shoved, and it was a ton of fun to watch. And the credit to go, you know, goes to those guys that we had that stepped up in big situations. And for sure, I mean, we didn't really act our age, you know, come postseason time, we were able to go win a series in Houston, and you've kind of seen the history there too. So it was fun, ton of fun to be a part of. And I'm proud of our group.
I mean, with the losses you took down the stretch and then to come back and grind back into the playoffs, then beat a great Houston team in the first round and then run into the Guardians, who were really good last year. You know,
really
people don't talk about them that much. They're not on the front page, but that was, I watched that team all year. They were, they had a special group. They had an aura about them and they were really good. And you ran into that second round of the playoffs, but it had to be really rewarding because 2 months prior, you're thinking, wait a minute, these guys have kind of thought we're not getting there and we got there despite him. Talk about AJ Hinch has had a ton of success as a big league manager and the part he played when they made those trades. What does he get you? I'm sure he got you guys together and kind of had some words for you. How does AJ lead from that point when things are going the way you don't want them to go 2 months prior to that pennant run?
Well, yeah, I mean, he exactly did what you said. You know, he's such a good leader. And you just look at his track record and you understand why those teams from Houston that, you know, he managed were very similar in terms of what we're going through. And you kind of see the powerhouse that they built there. So, I think, you know, he had the team, took us, you know, took me aside individually as a team, took everybody, you know, had the team meetings and talked about things and, you know, just talked about playing team baseball and showing up and winning today's game. And, you know, these months can get long if you let them. So let's just focus on today's game. And I think it simplified a lot of things for our guys. And I can't say enough good things about them, you know, especially The way he handles pitching and starting pitching, you know, for me individually too, is great. You know, he lets you earn every inning that you throw, and however deep you want to pitch into the game, he makes you go earn it. And that's something that I enjoy. You know, I enjoy that battle for between me and him of him not wanting to take me out of the game and give me another inning, even though I may be a little bit deeper in the game or the pitch count may be elevated. So I enjoy that. You know, I can get frustrated when I come out of the game, but you know, I didn't earn it, and that's something that I can live with.
Talking to you the other day on the golf course, it was cool to talk to a young player of today's generation. But it was interesting to me. You're coming off the Cy Young. You know, you're the man now. You're the ace. You're the best pitcher in the American League a year ago.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it was kind of refreshing to hear you talk about it, saying kind of, hey, Booney, I won the Cy Young, but it always hasn't been like this. I've had some adversities. You talked about the year when you gave up a bunch of home runs and you had to find a way to, hey, I got to make an adjustment and come back next year. You did that earlier in your career. You had to get Tommy John surgery. You come back from that. So it hasn't been just from the get-go, number one pick Cy Young from day one. There's been a lot of work and a lot of trials and tribulations you've been through. Talk about that and what it's like being a young player, getting your feet wet in the big leagues, and then 3 years later being on in the position you are right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, adversity, there's a lot of growth to be had when things aren't going your way or when injuries happen. So in college, there was, some stock and hype around my name my sophomore year of college, and boom, I get taken out. Tommy John missed that whole year and the hype kind of dies down and you kind of think like, hey, what happened? I just got hurt. I'll be fine. But that's just not how the baseball world works. You know, you got to earn it back. And, being a 9th round draft pick, you know, I think there is a little bit of adversity there. You know, it's not later round guy, but it's also not an early round guy. So,
right.
yeah, there's some adversity there, and you kind of got to go prove to the organization who you are and force their hand. You know, that was kind of my mentality coming up was opportunities may be limited, but force their hand in the opportunities you get, and things will kind of take care of themselves. And then, you know, you get to the big leagues and you don't know, really know what you're in for. You know, I went from double A, COVID season, missed all of triple A, and then debut, and, you know, I got punched in the mouth and continuously, and it just kind of like weighs on you for a little bit, and you kind of start to figure out like, all right, well, I don't know if I belong here, you know, truly, I don't know if I belong here. And then the next season I give up 34 homers, and that was probably the most eye-opening, you know, 7 months. You know, you go to battle for 7 months and you come out not on the winning side, you're coming on the losing side, and you got to look yourself in the mirror and kind of figure out what needs to change and how you need to change. And you know, I created a plan for myself and then brought it to our coaching staff and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And they said, you took the words out of my mouth. You know, I'm glad you agree with that. Cause you know, some guys are a little bit stubborn and they want to stick to who they are, but I was sick of getting beat up every game. You know, 32 homers is not a fun thing to watch. You know, guys run the bases like that. So yeah, you know, made some adjustments and obviously got hurt again in 22 and was able to, you know, tweak my routine a little bit and hammer out that side of the game and, you know, add some pitches and some different shapes to my arsenal. And then I was able to come back healthy and pitch a pretty successful 23, even though it was only 80 innings. And then, you know, I was able to do what I did last year and pitch a full healthy season and my routine worked. And I think that's probably the most gratifying part is I know I have what I need to do every fifth day. And I know it works and I know how I felt, you know, throughout the season, you know, as long as the season can get, you know, I felt decently fresh, you know, towards October. So, yeah, I think that was, all those things that don't go your way, you can learn a lot. You can learn as much as you want from them, or you can learn nothing from them. And then if you learn nothing from them, chances are they happen again. So, I'm trying not to have that happen, you know, in my career.
You know, as I mentioned at the top, I'm down here right now in Red's fantasy camp where you've got 150 campers and they all love baseball more than life. None of them are very good, but they love the game. And I was just coaching third base before I came in to do this show with you. And one of the kids on the other team said, "Hey, Booney, is there anything better than being at the ballpark every day?" I said, "Sometimes, yes." I said, "I've had times where I don't want to come to the ballpark. I'm hiding under the covers for years at a time." I said, "And then there's other years where I'm skipping to the ballpark." But he said, "Well, what did you learn from those tough years versus the good years?" I said, "The tough years made me appreciate the good years a whole lot more because I know how hard it is, especially at the big league level, to have the success. So the great years that I had, I never forgot. You know, because I've been at the bottom, I've been at the top. I never forgot what it was like when I was struggling, looking at the ceiling at night going, why can't I hit? Why can't I hit?" So I think you're right, though. As corny as it sounds, the adversity, the tough times that you go through, they really build you up and prepare you for the success. And then when you get the success, you're able to handle it because you know how hard it is and you know it can be taken away in the blink of an eye. So it's really cool to see that. I don't see too many real humble players in my life that's ever had adversity in their life. Usually the guys that aren't humble are guys you kind of look at their bubblegum car and go, wow, they never had a bad season. No wonder they're not humble. They've never gone through anything in
the
life.
The game's never done it. Yeah.
The game's never done it to you. It does it to most of us. Believe me, it does it to most of us. There's a few that sneak through the cracks that never really have a tough baseball season, you know, tough considered in our eyes, maybe tough in their eyes, but not tough how the game judges you. Speaking of that, your family, I know your family is very important to you. I read the New York Times article and that you were a very driven guy as a young kid, but your brother Will, who's now a SWAT sergeant, he kicked your butt when you'd kind of get out of line and say, "Hey, you got to keep striving for this. You got to keep working hard." Talk to me about growing up. I think your other brothers are Tyler, Trevor, and Trent. Is that right?
Yeah.
And, talk to me a little bit about the childhood and then especially your brother, Will, who you said was a big guy that really kept you in line and kept you going, kept you motivated.
Yeah. I think, you know, growing up with four brothers and being the second youngest, You know, I make this jokingly. We obviously had plenty of food and stuff in my house growing up, but you know, you had to finish your food first if you wanted seconds, you know, because food would be gone by then. So there was like a little bit of competition even at the dinner table, you know, growing up with in my family, and that was something you know, that you just grow up and do. And you know, my older brothers, they didn't let me win in any sport unless I actually won. So you know, you get pummeled by, you know, my brother Tyler was the worst at it. You know, he'd say we'd be playing, you know, front door or backyard basketball, and he'd give me a 10-0 lead and he'd beat me, you know, 11-10. You know, he just wouldn't let me score, nothing, you know, shut it down, and he would win. And you know, it was fun. But if you talk about, you know, adversity and with real life stuff, that's my brother Will. You know, when you watch, you know, what his family history, and what he's been able to accomplish in his life is nothing short of amazing. You know, I look up to him a ton. I look up to all my brothers. You know, everything they've been through and how they support me too is why I'm able to, you know, go out and do what I do and keep a pretty clear mind about things, you know. But yeah, my brother, you know, Tyler, he's the one who showed me, you know, kind of really how to work. He went and played college basketball and he came back and he was a monster. And I'm like, dude, he's like, yeah, I'm nowhere close to where I need to be. And I'm like, well, he's a monster to me. And I can't imagine what those guys look like. So, yeah, that's when I kind of kicked it into gear, you know, after my sophomore and junior year of high school, I kind of kicked it into gear of what I wanted to do. And if I wanted to go play college sports, cause you know, I wanted to play college basketball with my brother. And then I just got a little bit better at baseball and went that route. But yeah, he taught me how to work. But when you look at life stuff and true adversity in terms of, you know, not knowing where your next meal is, not having a family, and then the family get to see the family that he's created and his boys and his wife, it's pretty special. You know, the holidays are always a ton of fun. His kids are great. I mean, they're the most respectful kids that you're going to be around, too. So yeah, I mean, his job is a little scary to me. I don't really like his job and his profession that he chose. But, somebody in the country's got to do it. And I couldn't think of a better guy to do it than him.
Yeah. Those guys are built differently. They got a different mindset when they wake up in the morning, but it sounds like, sounds like what you're describing and how the family dynamic played out. Sounds like your mom and dad, pretty good parents that kind of grounded you guys and, you know, kind of taught you right from wrong. All right. Tyler, Trevor and Trent are described in the article as responsible. And then there's you and Will, where I don't know what the word was, but it wasn't responsible. Was it mischievous? No. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, me and the other three tended to stay out of trouble more than me and Will got into.
They did the right thing, right? They're like my brother. They're like my brother. Aaron's that guy. Aaron's the, hey, he always does the right thing. Brett's that one out there. We don't know what he's doing. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, they were the ones that, you know, got into bed and turned their homework in on time and all that stuff. And me and Will were the ones sneaking out and playing video games till way too late in the morning. And when my parents would catch us, you know, we're hiding in places that you can't be found in the house and stuff just to hide what we, you know, obviously we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing. But yeah, I think me and Will probably got in the most trouble, you know, growing up in our household. But Yeah, it was our household was so much fun. You know, we could take our house right to the local park and play, you know, 5-on-5 basketball or, you know, go play backyard wiffle ball and literally can field, you know, a 2v2 or a 2v3 team. And it was fun. It was just a ton of fun growing up. But yeah, me and Will were probably the ones that got into a little bit more trouble than the rest of them.
You said it, your house was like growing up in a clubhouse. A clubhouse anywhere you wanted to go.
It was a locker room. I feel bad for my mom because there was six of us guys running around and my mom had no other females around her. So, but yeah, it was fun, you know, growing up.
You're about a month out from spring training, back to your routine. You're back from your vacation. Now it starts to ramp up. I know you get pitchers and catchers, reporting about a month. Gleyber Torres and Alex Cobb, new teammates of yours. There's still some speculation out there. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, as players, we just get ready for the season and we hear in the news if they sign anybody else, they're, you know, maybe a Bregman or a Santander might be in the mix. But, you know, as far as players go, it's just kind of business as usual for you. What's your routine now, gearing up now that it's a month away, really dialing it in and get ready for spring training?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working out 5 times a week. That golf trip that I just went on was kind of the last like mess around and go enjoy the off season. And now I'm going to be pretty dialed in for the next, 3, 4 weeks and get out to spring training a little bit early. But yeah, work out 5 times a week. Bullpens are twice a week right now, and getting the pitch count up and getting the arm in shape to hopefully handle, another healthy season. I think the best seasons I think are made in the off season. I truly believe that, the preparation that you can kind of buy into your body and get your body in pretty good shape to handle the bumps and bruises of a long season. I may be a starting pitcher and I only take the field 32 or 33 times a year, but it's tough, to log innings, and you see the best pitchers in the league, they log innings year after year after year, and that's something that I want to do as a starting pitcher, is I want to be able to eat innings and be somebody my team can depend on every fifth day. And I think that happens, for me in season, the 3 days between starts, and then in the off season, I think it happens for, 3 months, and then getting your body in the best shape you can and getting your arm in really good shape. And when you get out there, you're prepared with the best of them, and then you just go out there and compete, and you don't have to worry about anything else. And whatever happens, happens. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the game that's out of your control, but if you go out there and prepare in between starts or before the season, I think at the end of the day, you can live with whatever result happens.
I think that's a great point too, and you got it at such a young age. I kind of got that mentality the second half of my career, where the off season is where you did make it. And I remember those off seasons where I'd get to spring training, and I knew I could look myself in the mirror and say I did everything I possibly could do to put myself in position to have the best year I can. Now it's kind of out of my hands. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm prepared. I think mentally that gave me a little bit of a leg up. Because I know the years that I came in and I could have done a little bit more. I thought about it and I'd look in the mirror and go, I could have done a little bit more. So as my career got later on, I made sure that I didn't have that doubt. When I got to spring training, I laid it all on the table in the off season and I'm ready for the season. And it seems like mentally it really helped me, like I said, having a little bit of a leg up on the competition. Well, I know I did as much as I could do. Did you? So it's pretty cool to hear that from a player, a young player. I know that's more the status quo these days. Everybody's working out, they're in shape 24/7, 12 months a year. But to me, it gave me a little bit of a mental edge. You feel that at all, or is it strictly the physical?
Oh, 100%. I think a lot of my confidence stems from preparation. I'm confident because I know I prepared it. Like you said, I prepared as well as I could have to just go out there and play. So that's where a ton of my confidence comes from. And the last thing I want to do is if something were to happen to me in season, injury, whatever it is, like I don't ever want to look back and say like, ah, damn, I should have done this day, or I shouldn't have taken this 2 days off from the gym. Because I know I wouldn't be able to live with that. I would, the rest of my life, I'd look back and be like, dang, I should have done that, or I should have showed up here, or I should have started throwing here, or I would hate to play the what if game for the rest of my life. To whereas, if I know I prepare and I give it everything I have in the off season, when my career and the jersey's taken off my back, I know I've done everything and I can live with that, and just I feel like I can transition to the next chapter of my life pretty well. And I mean, this game is so short. I mean, careers like you, that's a long career, but still, that's only, how many years of your life. So you still got to live, your life after that. And yeah, I think by doing those things and preparing, that's where a lot of my confidence comes from. And it's not only physically, but it's also mentally. I think those both things kind of coincide with each other. And another thing is, I also think it's a little bit disrespectful to my teammates if I don't give it everything I've got, and they expect whatever they expect out of me, but I'm going to do everything I can to go prepare, and I hope and respect and demand the same out of those guys. So yeah, I think that's part of the team game too, is it's individually you play, but as a team, that's when you got a bunch of guys that are all doing that, I think those are special teams and special clubhouses, and those are teams that do really special things. So yeah, I think there's a lot of it that goes into it, but yeah, I mean, simply put, yes, I get a ton of confidence from preparation.
Awesome, man. Well, I'll tell you what, the city of Detroit, the Tigers, they got a good one in you, man. I'm overly impressed the short time I got to meet you. Not by your golf game. I'll tell you what, Scoobs. I watched you down the stretch. I was calling you the X Factor. I said nobody wants to face Scooble in a deciding game. But you know, all that aside, obviously the accolades are piling up for you now. But just the man you've become, the man you are, great teammate. Detroit Tigers got a great one in you, and I wish you all the best, man, going forward. You're going to have a great career. I look forward to watching you pitch this year. It makes me, I'll tell you what, at 55, you know, it makes me sit on the couch when I watch you pitch, and it makes me not want to grab a bat. I don't want to chase that changeup, baby. That heater, maybe if you give me one heater and you tell me it's good, but I don't want to throw my back out when you pull the string on me. But no, it's been a pleasure. It was great getting to meet you. You got a great group of buddies that hanging out with. You know, it was cool hanging out with the young. I felt like I was hanging out with my son and all his buddies. But all the best going forward. I'm going to be looking for you in 27 to have another great year. And for those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast, now we have our own YouTube channel. Check it out for those of you listening on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your apps. Until next time, keep it here.